Good evening again to you one and all. We're going to be looking at the Psalms tonight, the first Psalm. If you'd like to look there, you can. We'll be considering a few thoughts for this evening. There is a business meeting on Friday. So those men that would like to come would be able to come Friday at 8 o'clock. That's the one other announcement. Tonight I wanted to just think a little bit about this psalm, and as we think about it, I just want to take and take a little stab at the young fellas, maybe. Two of them that aren't here tonight that I was going to kind of hit, but that's okay. We'll just pick on the young guys in general. And you can kind of think back when you were young and what it might have been like, okay? And so let's suppose, guys, that this great-looking girl, okay? And I say suppose because it probably never will happen, all right? Okay? These are kind of things we think about, but maybe that doesn't really happen. Okay. But anyhow, this great looking girl, okay, thinks that you're pretty special. Okay. And so she's writing to you, okay? It's good. And so one day you receive this really cool letter. Now I say it's cool because on this letter, you know how these girls are, they do all this little XX and O's stuff, you know? And you're looking at, you say, X. That's Roman numerals, right? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. 80. What's with this chick, you know? She's got all these X's and them O's. I don't even get that, okay? What's that mean? So anyhow, but boy, it sure smells good, you know? And so you take that letter, right, that she writes to you, and what do you do with it? Well, you go in your room, you flip it on the dresser or something, and you say, well, after I get done playing football with the guys, I'll come and read it. I don't think so, okay? No, that isn't how it goes, see? You get this letter with all this stuff on it, and it smells so good, and you sit down and make sure nobody's looking or whatever, and you kind of read this thing, you know? And then when you read it, of course, you just skim right through it, and then you don't skim through it. You kind of look at it, and you see them words, and you kind of can almost hear her saying these things, okay? Like, dear Nicholas. He's not even looking. Now, you know what I mean, okay? And anyhow, you peruse the letter. You look at it, you read it, take a sniff once in a while, maybe. And then you might read it again, okay? And possibly even again. Well, you know what? This word here, the Bible, is God's love letter to us. The love letters that we get from human beings, the next one you get might say, dear John. You know what I mean? Okay? So you can't always depend upon these here letters that you get, but you can depend upon this letter, because it's the Word of God. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, He's the same today, and forever. And He won't change. Others may change, we may change, but He won't change. This is God's love letter to us. Let's read it. Let's consider it. Take it off that shelf. Don't put it on the shelf. Let's read it. And I say this to myself, too, because I'm guilty many times of willful neglect of God's Word. But let's read it. Understand it, because it has a message for each one of us, young and old. Okay? Psalms 1. Let's just read through it. How about if I read the first verse and you read second and so on, okay? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
All right, so as we consider this psalm tonight, only six short verses, but it's packed with a lot of stuff and a lot of good things. We're going to find two types of people, two types of men and women, two types of boys and girls. We have the godly, and we have the ungodly. And this is an emotional psalm as we look at it. It starts out with, blessed is the man. And it ends with a curse to the ungodly. You know, Jesus, who is God, and we're reminded of that many times by Brother Ray in his prayers, Jesus, who is God, expressed his emotions at different times, didn't he, while he was here on this earth. You know, I remember one time, as we read, he came into the temple. Now, the temple is where men and women were supposed to come and worship his Father, worship God. But instead, as he came, he found them dealing and selling and buying. And he was very upset. He showed real emotion because the Bible says that he spoke to them, and he accused them of making his Father's house a house of merchandise and a den of thieves. And he took a whip, and he drove them out, it says. I don't know, none of you probably necessarily have had opportunity to drive cattle, but I know when you drive them, you just don't say, okay, watch your step, let's move along. You get a stick or something, give them a whack or something. Well, he picked up a whip. And he snapped it, maybe. I don't know. He took the tables and he threw them over. He was filled with emotion. The Lord Jesus. He came to another time when he had emotion and showed it. He came to his friend's house, Lazarus. Now, he knew already that Lazarus was dead. He knew he would be dead. He knew he was in the tomb. But seeing the people, he had compassion. He showed emotion, and the Bible says that he wept. He cried. This is the Lord Jesus. He had emotions. And you know, the Bible says that he cried with a loud voice. Now, he didn't need to do that to wake up Lazarus. I mean, but he did that for the people's sake. And he would say, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? But Lazarus came up out of the grave, and there they were reunited together. The Lord has emotions. He starts out this book, this chapter, with saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so with emotion, he says this blessed. Now, blessed we could think of maybe as another term is happy. Happy is the man that does these things. Blessed is the man that does these things. And so in the first three verses of this psalm, that's well known to many, and probably many could quote it. In the first three verses, we learn about the godly man. And in the first verse, we could maybe look at the godly man's path, okay? What path does he take? First of all, we see that he's separated from the world, okay? For it says, happy is the man who walketh not, standeth not, and sitteth not, okay? Now note the progression. He's walking, he's standing, and then he's sitting. Not. Okay? It's easy to go along with the crowd. And I think that God wants us to be friends with people around us. But the idea is, when you get too close, you walk with them. Before long, you're standing with them, and then you're sitting with them. We need to be careful. But the godly man isn't doing this. He doesn't do that. He doesn't walk with them. He doesn't stand with them, and he doesn't sit with them. Now, the world tells us that we should emphasize the positive, but the Lord Jesus here, inspiration of the scriptures, is putting emphasis on the negative side, the things that we shouldn't be doing. And the happy man, or the blessed man, is noted by these things. See, because he doesn't do... He doesn't do, or he doesn't go the places where he shouldn't be. He isn't reading the books and magazines that he shouldn't be reading. He isn't going to the movies that he shouldn't see. And he isn't keeping company with people that wouldn't be right for him as a believer. That's the happy man. That's the godly man. In other words, we can conclude that a man that wants to be happy, he begins by avoiding certain things in life because they're dangerous to him. They're like poison, and they'll bring him down, okay? And so the happy man, the blessed man, is avoiding these things. He doesn't listen to the ungodly man who says, well, if it feels good, do it. Or the ungodly man that says, well, everybody's doing it, so just do it. Or, well, you know, it's just a little white lie. Or these things, you know. That's not what he's doing. He's not listening to that ungodly man. He's not walking with him. And then he isn't lingering around with this sinful man, okay? God's placed us in this world, as I mentioned, but we're not to be of the world. God would have us to be friends with lost men and women, but friends with a purpose, to point them to the Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this happy man isn't lingering around with the sinful man. You know, Jesus himself was called a friend of sinners, publicans and sinners. But his purpose was much greater than to be listening to their complaints or their ungodly thoughts. His purpose was to bring them to himself. And so, while we're in this world, we're not to be part of the world. If you remember Abraham thinking about standing in the way of sinners, remember Abraham when he was in Canaan and there was a famine, he went down to Egypt. And there in Egypt, he told Pharaoh that his beautiful wife Sarah was his sister. You know, the problems that that created. And thereby he lost his testimony. He was standing, he was acquainting himself with sinful men, and thereby lost his testimony. We need to be careful we don't lose our testimony. Peter stood with the sinful man when he stood outside the judgment hall there, where Christ was being on trial, and there he was warming his hands with the sinners, wasn't he? And later on, he with oaths and with cursings, he denied the Lord. And then he doesn't sit with the scornful. In Matthew it says that the scribes sit in Moses' seat. That is, they were the professors of the law. Okay? But the happy man, he avoids the seat of the scornful man. He avoids those that would teach that there is no God, that we're human beings in the humanistic view, and those things, the atheist, the humanistic. These are men that would tear down, if at all possible, even the faith of believers. And as a believer, we shouldn't be sitting in that seat or associating with, to the extent of listening to and learning from, these type of people. The happy man doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful man. God says, in the warning of his word, stay away. Avoid it. It won't bring happiness to you, and it won't bring any satisfaction. And we're going to look at in the verse 2 there, it talks about the godly man's pleasure. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. You know, he's satisfied with the word of God. I wonder, are we satisfied with the word of God? Well, we can't be satisfied with it if we're not reading it. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? So we need to read God's word. And as we do, that happy man, that blessed man, finds himself satisfied with the word of God. The word has his affections because he has a different counsel. His counsel is from God. He finds different company. His company is with believers. And he has a different cause. His cause is for the sake of Christ and his work. And this is the happy man, and that's his pleasure. The word has his full, also his full attention. For it says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's a day and night thing with him. I don't think this means that the man is sitting there with the Bible in his hand all the time reading it, but he's meditating on those things that he has read. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight isn't with the teachings, the books, and the learnings of the scornful one who would distract from Christ and try to ruin the faith, but rather his delight is in the law and in the Holy Scriptures which God has given to us. And when he talks about meditating in his word, he's not talking about this type of meditation that you open your mind to whatever might fill it. Now, it's the idea of having God's word in front of us and in a conscious way asking God to speak to us through it, through his scriptures. We could say, for example, as we take a portion and we read it, is there anything, any sin in here, in this scripture that I can avoid to be caught up in? We could say, is there any promise in this portion of Scripture for me to claim? How about any victory to gain or any blessings to enjoy? Is there any truth I've never seen before about God, about Christ, the Holy Spirit, about man, about sin? Or what's the main thing I can learn out of this passage? And so this happy man is involved in considering God's word and what it has to say for him. And then in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And this is the godly man's prosperity. And his location, if you noted, it's by the water, the rivers of water. That's where he's located. And in the scriptures, we think about water, and we think about water for cleansing. We think about the word of God. When we think about water for drinking, we think about the Spirit of God. And we find that he's there by the rivers of water. You know, there's several different things in this verse which mark the life of a godly man situated by the water. First of all, he's like a tree. Trees are great. I love trees. They're majestic, really. And they're so great because they offer so many things. But this is the godly man. He's like a tree. And he's planted, okay? He's not just like the grass, you know, that gets mowed down every year or burned up by the drought or whatever. No, he's got a deeper roots. He's got deep roots and a hidden life. And so he's like a tree that's planted. And he's by the river of water. The lack of rain doesn't affect this tree because its roots are deep. gets its life and strength and moisture from that river. And it's an unfailing source of life, that river is. And he brings forth fruit. You know, he's a blessing to those around him. And it's in his season that he brings forth this fruit. You know, when we're abiding in Christ, and Christ in us, the fruit we don't have to worry about, because in the season, it'll produce itself. And we'll see fruit in our lives as we abide in Christ. And so, it says also that his leaf won't wither. We live where there's a lot of hardwoods, and the trees' leaves fall off. They just come down every year. But you know, the evergreen keeps its needle and its green all year round. And that's what we're to be like, you know. Not affected by winter or weather or soil conditions. And I suppose you could take that a little further and find that you can be affected. But as far as the tree goes, but I think you get the point. The point is that we're not to be affected by storms that come along, things that come into our life that would wither our leaves, as it were. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the word of God, and it says that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is a happy man. This is a godly man that finds himself by the water, a tree that's planted deep. And the Bible says everything he does shall prosper. That's his personal life. That's his family life, church life. Sometimes when we think of prosper, we think of money. But, you know, that's only a small meaning of that word, I think. Prospering is being a happy man, a contented man, a blessed man, as the psalm here tells us about. Such is the godly man and the blessed man. He prospers in everything that he does. The godless man is the one that we'll think about in the next three verses. This is the man that leaves God out of his life. He's the lost man, the unsaved, the part of the many thousands and millions that are out there. Linda's working at the airport now, and she just said the other day, you know, so many people come through here, and how many of them are lost, you know? And it just sort of hits you once in a while that we live in a world where so many people are lost. They're ungodly. And we consider ourselves and the blessing that is ours in knowing Christ as Savior and the fact that he's chosen us. Why me? Why me, you know? And we ask that. Well, that should bring devotion and love out of our heart because of what that we are chosen and that we are blessed by him. Now, everything about this ungodly man is in great contrast to the ungodly man is in great contrast with the godly man that we just considered. Because the ungodly man, he's driven, okay? And then in verse 4, and in verse 5, he's like doomed, and in verse 6, he's damned. This is the ungodly man. In contrast to the towering tree of the godly man, with its roots deep in the soil and nourished by the river of water that he's by, the ungodly are like the shaft, which are driven by the wind. The lost, unsaved man is at the mercy of forces he can't even see. The Word of God tells us that the unsaved are spiritually discerned, is the word. They don't understand. They don't take it in. And they're tossed about. They don't know why they're doing these things necessarily, but they're doing them because they're affected by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The unsaved man is not the captain of his own soul or the master of his, and he's not the captain of his own destiny, nor the master of his own soul. He's powerless and driven by these unseen forces. He's like the shaft which the wind drives away. This is how God describes the ungodly. In verse 5 it says, he is doomed. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The sinner has no standing in the day of judgment. Someday, you know, every man will give an account of himself. And the ungodly man, the sinner, whether young or old, boy or girl, will someday stand before this throne, and he'll have nothing that will be familiar to him at all. There won't be anything. The heavens and earth have passed away. All those things that were he had maybe built or invested in, all his talents, they're all gone. And there he stands before a righteous God, and in judgment he sees all this swept away. And there's nothing for him to stand on. And the only thing that he'll be able to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you. And that's the sad state of the ungodly man. The blessed man, the happy man, will stand before God, and his works will be tried. The Bible says that, talks about wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burned up. Those things that we thought we were doing that was good and gracious and godly might turn out to be wood, hay, and stubble. Depends how it was done. But the little cup of water that we gave in his name is what we'll be rewarded for. And we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But not so for the ungodly. The ungodly has to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. So he's driven, he's doomed, and in verse 6, he's damned. For the Bible says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are only two ways for mankind. There's the way of the cross, and it's the way to glory. There's that song, I must needs go home. By the way of the cross, there's no other way but this. And I forget how it goes exactly, but if I'd e'er get sight of the gates of light or something like that, if the way of the cross I miss. Yeah. The way of the cross leads home. There's only two ways. It's the way of the cross or it's the way of the curse. It's the broad and popular way that leads to a lost eternity. By nature and by practice, we're all on that Broadway, or we're all on that Broadway, but a deliberate choice can make the change. A deliberate choice by man, woman, boy, or girl. We come to Christ recognizing that he was the one who died for us, he's the one who loves us, gave himself for us, received his gift of salvation, and we pass from death unto life. And no longer are we the damned, doomed, and driven man, but we're the blessed man, the happy man, who finds his path and his pathway directed by Christ. The lost man can no more fight his end than can the shaft fight the wind, the gales that come along. They have no power over that. And someday, as they stand before Christ, they'll realize that. And the Bible ends up in this chapter by saying, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. These are sobering things. If you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as Savior, young person, or older like, you need to get your life right with Christ. You got to get in that right relationship with him. You need to be saved. You need to have your sins taken care of. That sin question. But if you're here tonight, like most of us who know Christ as Savior, these are sobering things for us as we consider this ungodly man who's lost. And we should do and live our life and ask God to use us to point these others lost to Christ, that they won't have to spend an eternity in hell. And if we're the happy man today, if we're that blessed man, let's consider these things. Let's walk in the path that God wants us to walk. Let's not be walking with the unsaved. Let's not be standing with them and sitting with the scornful, but rather enjoying God's word and meditating on it both day and night. Well, that's all I got for tonight, so we'll just close in a word of prayer, okay? Father in heaven, as we bow in your presence, we just want to say thank you for your many blessings upon us. Thank you for the scriptures which we have in front of us, and as freely we can read them. Help us to avail ourselves of them. Help us to cherish them and to consider them as they are, your love letter, as it were, to us. And so we ask this as we pray. Be with us this week. Help us in the things that we say and do, that we might say and do them as unto you. For we ask it in Jesus' name now. Amen.